What's up?
I'm feeling pretty satisfied. On the way in this morning, I got leftovers from my wife's lunch out yesterday and had them for breakfast. It was like a full meaty lunch, but I'm like, I don't care. I can do it. And then I had, in the fridge, I had one of these Bundaberg guava drinks.
I saw you brought them.
And enjoyed that.
You like those.
And I got to say, like, I have no business eating this well this early in the morning, but I feel great about it.
You should.
Yeah.
You know what? You deserve it.
Well, thank you, sir.
But and it's also part of, you know, your current protocols for
my
stress.
My current protocol. Yeah. I'm gonna eat well. I'm gonna exercise. Hey, update on the current protocol. It's been a good couple weeks, and owing in no small part to my decisions to try and choose health. You know what I mean?
I'm with you.
That sounds like I'm eating more fiber. I don't mean choose health. I just mean, you know, a little bit of exercise.
And a little bit of kale.
Exercise, sleep, food, and determination that if everything that I'm working on blows up, like I'll still be okay. Like deciding all those things has been really helpful. And I had a really stressful week, but whereas a few weeks back I was peaking at like a 16 out of 10.
Yeah.
This time I peaked at like a 6, you know, like it's good.
You know, that 16 out of 10, we were both experiencing within a week of each other.
I know, it's really weird and for totally different reasons.
Right.
But yeah, we were both having it.
The strange part about that is that 16 out of 10, I ran into a lot of people in that same 16 mark, and I was
know.
Like, what the heck?
Maybe it was just February. Maybe no, February is trying to ruin people's lives.
This one person who called me, and she was really struggling, and she asked if I could help her, and I said, sure, yeah. And, you know, so we were talking, and she was convinced, and she's from our faith, right?
Yeah.
But she was convinced that it was an astrological event.
Oh, yeah. Not a big fan of the astrology.
I'm
although
not it.
Elements of our faith actually talk a lot about planets. Who knows?
Say, though, when it is a full moon, it seems like crazy things happen. Yeah. Just for me, it just happens.
I think they've determined that mathematically it's true. That I mean, like, statistically it's true. But in California, we have this other vector, which hasn't happened in a while. But, like, when you get Santa Ana weather patterns, where this is, like, this super dry, super hot driving wind.
Oh, that one?
You know, car accidents go up. And
really?
And violent crime goes up. And domestic abuse goes up. Like, all these things happen during Santa Ana winds, which is kind of funny.
I hate the wind.
Yeah.
Of all the weather patterns, I can kind of take extreme cold, extreme heat.
We cover this. It's the great flaw of the state of Colorado. Otherwise, pretty well perfect state.
Or the southern
but then the wind,
part of
but then
Utah.
The wind when you're pumping gas at
Dude,
a gas
it's
station,
terrible.
It's terrible.
We had speaking of wind, we have a leak in our house. And I'm like, I don't get this leak. And I think I might have figured it out recently. So I have a window in my bedroom that's about, I don't know, maybe a foot and a half off the ground. And it's a window. And for some reason,
yeah,
during the rains of a couple of years ago, I was looking over there, and I'm like, what the heck is going on? There's a bubble growing on the wall.
Oh.
Like a pimple.
Like a pimple on the wall.
Yeah. So I'm like, it's got to be, well, of course, it's full of water. And I'm like, okay, this is weird. And then so I clean it up, get everything ready, go outside, look at everything, get on the roof, go into the attic, trying to figure out where this leak is, right? We got nothing. Nothing.
Nothing?
And then the next time it rained, it didn't happen. So it didn't happen a lot of times. And then even with the little hurricane thing that came through last year.
Atmospheric
right.
river.
Atmospheric river.
I like to say it like that.
That one didn't. But the one a couple of weeks ago where it was just driving horizontal rain.
Oh, yeah.
It did it again.
Aha. Uh-huh.
And so we're like, okay, so there must be something to do with the horizontal rain, right? So I talked to my painter just out of curiosity.
I love that you got it. I talked to my painter. You yeah, like him on retainer. He's on painter retainer. He's just in a building throwing darts at the wall. Like,
exactly.
William called. It's like a bad phone on the table.
No, the truth is, I use him a lot because yeah, of the building, right?
Right, right.
So every time we turn a unit, he's in there. So
yeah,
I do talk to him quite a bit.
Yeah, he is
so
your like, painter.
He is my painter. So I go, Alan, what's the deal? Do you have any ideas? And he goes, well, when's the last time you painted your house? And I'm like, dude, I knew you'd go there, but I'm not painting my house right now. And he goes, well, stucco is porous.
Yeah.
And at some point, it starts to absorb more water. And if it's horizontal rain, it could be just absorbing that the wind with all the water against it and creating an event. And I'm like, that makes more sense than anything else I've heard of. So.
Oh my gosh, I have the craziest thing that happened. You just reminded me of it. Okay, so you have a discovery and you're working on it and you think
right,
you might solve your pain pimples.
Yeah, maybe. My pain pimples.
Okay, do you remember that show Mystery Diagnosis?
Yeah.
Okay, that show is a messed up show.
I've never watched
it. I only watched it a few different times. But like, basically, it's like people that have really weird diseases, like they have really weird symptoms and they can't figure out what it is and none of the doctors know. And then,
isn't that the same premise of the show with that crazy doctor? Shoot, what's that? Anyway, keep going.
Anyway, I'll figure it out. Sometimes it's genuinely mysterious. It's like, oh, it turns out I'm allergic to toxic mold, and that inside this wall of the basement I live in, there was toxic mold, and that's why I had all these symptoms.
Right. House is the movie. Have you watched that show?
Yeah.
Same premise. I guess one's real and one's fake.
That's right. But the real one was stranger than fiction. It was like gross. So there's this one episode that this is maybe when I tapped out of the show, where this guy was like, yeah, I had all these symptoms and it was really bad and I didn't know. And then they have to do good storytelling. So it gets progressively worse until there's a climax and then there's a big breakthrough and then voila, we're fixed.
Yeah.
But this one had, he's like, at one point, I passed out on the bathroom floor and my wife found me there on the floor and I had been bleeding out of my anus.
Ugh.
And then it kept going. This thing kept going. But then he didn't go to the doctor. Okay.
What?
And this is where I paused the television and I turned to Rachel. I'm like, Rachel, yeah, I know you don't like to go to the doctor. Yeah. If at any point you're bleeding out of your anus, can we agree that we're going to go to the doctor? She's like, yes, I agree that we're going to do that. And it's become a family joke now. It's like, maybe, did you fall down and were you bleeding out of your anus? Anyway.
You have to actually put this on the calendar. Like, if this happens.
If this happens, we're going to do a decision tree. If bleeding out of anus equals yes, then doctor. Okay. All right.
I'm sorry. This is so many visuals in my head. I'm going.
Okay.
I can't stop.
All right. So, but I have a mystery diagnosis in the Davis family.
Uh-oh.
Of consequence to us. It turns out it's of low consequence. When you hear the stakes, you're going to be like, well, that's low stakes. But it wasn't low stakes to us. Here's the deal. For the last several weeks, on the weekend, Jonah starts complaining about stomach pain and then he has a big gastrological event. He like often barfs.
Really?
It's just on the weekend. So it's like 4 weeks in a row on the weekend. Okay.
Oh, weird.
Super weird. So first we're like, oh, he has this long lingering virus. It's just hanging out. And he's complaining
about
stomach.
That's a 2 week thing.
He's complaining about stomach virus all week, but then on the weekend it's worse, and then he barfs. And so we were totally discounting it. We're like, we're parents. Because it's always like,
and he's the fourth child.
It's right when he's going to bed, or it's right when he has to go to school. He's like, my stomach hurts. Da, da, da. And I'm like, okay, well, you're lying. Let's go. You know what I mean? But it turns out then he barfs. I'm like, he wasn't lying. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I'm nervous. So in the third week, I'm finally like, well, I guess we're going to the doctor because he woke up on Monday morning and just had a huge barf. And I'm like, well, geez, okay. So I took him to the doctor. The doctor's, and I don't like to rush to the doctor for a stomach ache for an 11-year-old.
Yeah.
Because it's always like, you should probably eat less sweets. You know, like, yeah, thanks, guys. I appreciate it. You know what I mean? Like, but really, what is it? And so I'm milking this a little bit. We go to the doctor. They do all the things. It's not the appendix. It's not the liver. It's not the kidney. Da-da-da-da. And the pain seems to be concentrated on the actual stomach. Like, I have no idea why it would be. I'm like, it could be Giardia. It could be some other
parasite. Giardia? They really went there?
It could be Giardia. It could be a parasite.
Okay.
So we're going to do, like, those tests.
Cultures or whatever.
Yeah. So we did the gross tests, and they come back negative, 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 negative. It's like clean bill of health.
Okay.
And now we're like, what the absolute crap is going on? So then
you said absolute crap.
There you go. So then there's some allergies that have been kind of new in our family. Like, Rachel's now taking allergy medicine somewhat regularly. So I'm like, is there an allergy that he's around on the weekends? It's like, at school, he's like not around it very much, but on the weekends, he's around it more.
This is good sleuthing.
So this is like, maybe. So we're looking around. We can't figure that out. Is there a food thing? Because, you know, our family is largely sensitive to, if we eat lactose, like, it messes up our stomach. Is it a food thing? So I'm like, no mac and cheese for the next 3 days. I want to see what's going on, And, like, doesn't seem to be that. Also, doesn't seem to be that. So we're getting nowhere, dude. We're, like, 4 weeks in. Stomach hurts. Barf. Like, what in the world?
Yeah, and it's getting stressful now because now it sounds bigger.
Yeah, because now it's going to be, what is it going to be, irritable bowel syndrome or some sort of long-term, what do you call the
Crohn's disease,
or is it going to be what's the thing? What do you call it when your stomach burns all the time and they find out it was actually
acid reflux?
Well, anyway, what's it going to be? So then, ulcerative colitis. We have a friend with that.
That's terrible.
With their young son. So it's a big deal. So then I'm like, oh, it's going to be one of those. So then the other night, I'm going to go put Jonah to bed. And I'm like, hey, Jonah, yeah, time to get your stuff together and go to bed. And I look down and he's in the front room, which is the room where he has a computer.
Hot Cheetos.
And he's playing the Oculus Quest headset.
Oh,
really? And I'm like, wait a minute. And I'm like, how long have you been playing? Oh, the last couple of hours. I'm like, Google it. Da-da-da-da. Dude, you can get motion sickness from the Oculus Quest headset. That motion sickness can be time delayed and can be up to 12 hours later. He's playing right before bed. He goes to bed motion sick, wakes up in the morning and barfs. That's happening. So then I'm like, I don't want to call victory too early, but we take the quest away. Dude, we're 5 days in. He's complained about his stomach once this week instead of every day.
You're kidding.
I'm not kidding. So he is motion sick by the quest guy.
What? Dude, what a relief.
Huge relief.
It's not ulcerative colitis. It's questitis.
It's questitis. Huge relief. So then we had our own mystery diagnosis.
Dude.
We sat him down and we said, I just want to be sure. Are you bleeding out of the anus? No. All right. Then it's the quest. So, I mean, is it too late to call victory? I'm like, too early to call victory? I'm like, I don't think so. I mean, there's also this chance that he had a 4-week-long virus, I suppose. But and there are a couple symptoms that don't totally line up.
My sister, who's
but generally... Seems to be better, dude.
Dude, that's awesome. My sister, who's like, you know what, like, oh, only 1% of the population this happens to. She seems to always be the 1%. Always. And so because of that, she has all these crazy things that happen in her body. And so we actually call her Dr. Mullen because we all call her when something happens. The first person we call about something going on, we call her, right?
Yeah.
Because she's super good at researching it. She's super good at getting rid of the fluff and the research, and she's just real and quick at it, right? So you can call and like, hey, this is happening. So it's either happened to her or she knows how to get the answer, right? So
sounds good.
We call her all the time for this. I forgot where I was going with this, but she said that she's like, one of the most important things you need to do is be in tune with your body. And
right.
I'm like, that sounds so hippie.
Yeah, but I mean, there's a hippie version of it. It's like the astrology version of it.
Right.
You're like, you know, if Mercury's in retrograde,
but I think that there's a connection
between kidneys.
I really do think there's a connection between parents and children and their ability to find that.
Yeah.
And then when you get older, you know, as you mature and you're into your, you know, you have to start figuring things out on your own, you being in tune with that. Is that because there's like a level of supernatural, like...
No, look, my mom had that, actually.
Intuitiveness.
When I was... like 10 or 12 years old, I got a rash on my knee, and my mom looked at it, and for no reason, for no medical training, no, in her brain, she looked at it, she goes, staph infection.
What?
And she went to the doctor, and they're like, yeah, that's a staph infection, you need this medicine, good thing you caught it, that's really dangerous. Like, what is that? Like, I don't know. My mom had a gift. I mean, I was the 6 of 7, but still, so she had a body. She had a body of evidence to work with. But
so here's my thing. Okay, so
cool.
My sister has no doctor's degree. Your mom has no doctor's degree. Do you have this thing where this happens to me, right? And there's a bias in people's title, right?
Oh,
If you're Sir Anthony Hopkins, for some reason you're more serious.
Well, as people, we respect credentialed people.
We do. Did you ever see, there's a YouTube thing out where they had six people, I think we might have talked about it, but they had like six people, they put them in a room, they said, hey, judge yourselves on who's the smartest with the highest IQ. And so they kind of like talk to one another, and there's this one kind of like insufferable girl that's got a PhD in biochemistry or something like that.
Yeah.
And she's like finding COVID research and finding cures for COVID, right? So she sounds really smart.
Yeah.
And she kept dropping this PhD thing, right?
Right, right.
And so there was this other kid in there, and these were kind of the two extremes. The other kid in there was this high school graduate Marine, right? Yeah. So everybody else, it was in between. Like somebody was going to Yale, somebody was going to this other school, da-da-da-da-da, right?
Okay.
So they ranked each other, and almost everybody, with the exception of the Marine, ranked the Marine at the bottom of the class, right?
Right.
And I want to say there were six people. The only one that got ranked lower than the Marine was this kind of stoner kind of guy.
Okay.
So then they rank them all. They rank each other, right? And then they have them sit in those things. And then what they did is they had them take an IQ test. And so they took the IQ test, and it turns out that the girl with the PhD that was ranked at the top of the group.
Right.
By the group.
Right.
She was the bottom.
Yeah.
She was like, I think she was the second or last.
It doesn't actually surprise me all that much, but.
So there's this bias.
What about the Marine?
The Marine was at the top. he was, I think, third to the top.
Yeah.
And then there was someone in between I would have picked. And I was like, oh, that's probably the smartest person. Like he was, an Asian guy going to Harvard or something, or Yale or whatever. I mean, he just was smart. You could hear it.
You could just hear it when he was.
Yeah. Like we talked to our friend Mark, right? When we talked to that guy, you just know it. He's just the smartest guy you ever met. Anyway, so the point of this is that I have these friends and family members that are close to me, and that when they have an ailment, right? So if you have an ailment,
yeah,
let me tell you, if you ever have a knee problem, call me.
Yeah.
I've had so many knee problems. I've had two knee surgeries. I know exactly, and I've done enough research, sat with people, all this other stuff, that I could probably consider myself a knee expert without having MRIs, x-rays, all that kind of stuff. I could probably tell you pretty close to what's wrong.
Yeah.
Right? I have these friends.
I have a friend who's an orthopedic surgeon who's listening right now going, no, don't do it. Don't call
him. I know. And they're call William. You're not trained. But here's to your friend that's the orthopedic surgeon, here's the deal.
Yeah.
I first tell people, ice it. Okay? What happened during the injury? And I hear the thing, okay. And then I'm like, okay, you need to go to a doctor,
right?
But the first thing is always ice. So your orthopedic surgeon's probably like, yes, that's right. And then the next thing I would tell you is move. You don't want your knee to freeze up. You want to be able to, with the exception of breaks, right? Like actual breaks, which you're going to know about pretty quickly. You need to kind of keep your knee moving. Anyway, the point of this is I've had several friends with knee injuries recently, and they just don't freaking listen. They wait for that doctor. They will wait through the crazy serpentine of mystery diagnosis that happens within the medical community.
Yeah.
They'll wait for 3 weeks to find out what I told them, 3 weeks earlier.
Yeah.
And now I get it. Fine. Whatever. I'm not a doctor.
But I play one on TV.
But.
Yeah, man. So we had our mystery diagnosis. I think we're coming out the other side, and I'm feeling great.
That's awesome.
That's pretty funny.
Oculism. That's terrible. Drinking my water and my lead-filled Stanley.
What other amazing stories? I went and saw my folks this week. Drove down for a couple days. That was a good time.
I didn't know that.
I just snuck out. Because it's weird. I'm in a place now where our kids are kind of in a routine with school.
Right.
And Rachel's in a routine with work. And, I can just up and leave with very little planning. I just put two changes of clothes in a backpack and took my work down there. Because I'm working while I'm there, it's not like I was able to give my parents the time that I wish I was able to give them. But we had three or four meals together, so it was a good time.
Yeah, but that's, it's important to them.
Yes, it is.
I hope
avid listeners, by the way. Hello, Mom and Dad.
It would be important to me to be visited by my children.
No, it was a good time. It was a good time. We had ate out once or twice, and we ate in a couple times, and it was fun.
I should visit my mom. She lives in some weird rural town in Nevada.
You mentioned that, yeah.
I don't know that it's very visible yet.
Hey, how is the new home arrangement? You have your father-in-law at the house?
So far, so good. He's we finally finished the project of the bathroom.
Okay.
I mean, there's little details to do. There's a fire. That was a good one. The painter started the bathroom on fire.
Oh, no.
So my painter, in air quotes, he's not actually the guy that does the work.
I feel like you need to give him an Italian name, like mia pintadora or something like that.
Mia pintadora. You can only say that because you've been to Italy. So Anyway, so they set up, you know, they had to do some mud work because we made some holes in the wall. And so they were trying to dry the mud a little faster. So he was using a heat gun.
Oh.
But then he was like, set up the heat gun on top of the toilet, on top of a cardboard box. The cardboard box started on fire, burned up the new toilet. Yeah, that was pretty much.
Well, that's pretty scary.
So anyway, fires are over. Fires are out.
Wow.
Grandpa's in.
We're and he's still your painter.
He's still my painter. Actually, you know, and he's like, anyway, he was cool about it. But they fixed everything.
Yeah.
So Grandpa's in, and it's been fine. I think he's still kind of like getting his bearings, right?
Is he upstairs or downstairs?
He's downstairs.
Okay.
Do you have
two bedrooms downstairs?
We have two bedrooms downstairs. Originally, Francis was in one, and then Fierston was in the other. Belinda turned Fierston's room into an office for herself.
Yeah.
And turned the other room into kind of like the guest room.
Yeah.
Because it's got like a Jack and Jill bathroom. And now the guest room is redone into Grandpa's room. And it's not really Jack and Jill because the office doesn't need access to it. So we just kind of lock that door. And
yeah.
So it's been nice. He seems to be happy. He's a really agreeable person.
Yeah.
You know, so he's easy to have around. And he loves reading, and so he does a lot of reading. Anyway, it's been fun. Fierce loves it because they both love movies. So they're like, "What are we gonna watch tonight?" So they
oh, that's fun.
Grandpa will pull out one of his he's old school because he has to play it on a DVD.
Okay.
He won't stream it.
That's interesting.
Right.
So although to his credit, so you know, I love streaming. I stream all the stuff. I don't have any DVDs.
Yeah.
But I can't believe that after this many years, and it's been a lot of years. It's been probably a decade or more of pure streaming. Why can't we get fast forwarding to be consistent and accurate in streaming?
Oh, yeah. Buffering. Well, you know more than I do.
No, I know physically why it's difficult. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying that I'm 95% sure that the best minds haven't been trying to solve it. You know what I mean? I'm pretty sure they're like, I don't know. No one's complaining about it. Keep going. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or like on Hulu last night. So Hulu is interesting because it has, in many ways, it has the best interface. And in a handful of ways, it has the worst interface. And I'm clarifying that because we actually have a friend who's in charge of the interface. So if you're out there.
I don't like the Hulu interface.
If you're out there, we love you. But like, I literally was in the middle of a show and I'm like, I wanted to restart the show. And there's no restart button on Hulu. I had to like press play and then pause and then manually rewind to the left to start the movie over. And I'm
isn't
like,
it funny
I'm
that
like can you just give me a start over button? That'd be great. You know what I mean?
So. Yeah, restart, start over. Yeah, yeah. I mean, the restart makes sense, but the start over makes sense too. Yeah,
but streaming.
But even Netflix doesn't have a start over button. No, it does. It does on the TV, but not on the phone. You have to like take the little ball, you know, and push it towards the end. Do you know what's the other one that really bugs me? Is Apple TV when you're watching a series, they make you go pretty far into the credits before they let you skip to the next.
Oh, yeah, that's interesting.
It's so irritating.
I've been watching a show on Apple TV, the new Masters of the Air. It's the new.
Somebody else told me about that.
It's good. It's worth it. You should watch it. I'm on the fifth episode. It doesn't give you the same. It's the same vibes as Band of Brothers. And it's by the same producers, by the way. It's Hanks and Spielberg.
Oh, really?
It is. So it's a legitimately good show. But the thing that's doing for me is it's making me confront how horrifying it was to be in a bomber over Europe. It's horrifying, dude. Like when you watch it, you're like, oh my gosh, yeah, that's so scary.
It's just a statistical.
Well, that's the thing. It's like I just watched an episode where 13 bombers went out and then one came back.
Well, you know, I
13 and
did
one
you ever watch
came
the
back.
Enola
this is
Gay. It's,
this is historical. This is like historical.
No, I know. Did you ever watch the Enola Gay or whatever?
The movie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it had like, anyway, it was a really good movie. But in that, they really approached that. Like they're like just the randomness of the number of people that come back.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So it's, but it's good, dude. It's a good show, dude.
They couldn't fly high enough to get out of the flak.
Yeah.
And then, so they just put enough bombers in the air to where they're going to.
Yeah. And they keep completing their missions in this show, but like at varying costs that are all severe. And they do the visuals are amazing. And then as per usual, from the lesson learned from Band of Brothers, the opening sequence and song are so beautiful that I'm not actually fast forwarding it. I'm still watching it all the way through because it's just beautiful.
So Grandpa that moved in with us, that's his genre. That's what he loves.
Well, he's gonna love
World War II airplane stuff.
Oh, then he's gonna love this show.
Yeah. So I told him about it, and he's like, yeah, I'd like to watch that. So I'm gonna get him in Fierce on that. I'd like to watch it too.
Yeah, on Fierce. I mean, this is obviously it's HBO, right? So I mean, it's Apple TV, but it's the guys who made it for HBO. So it's
not approved.
Language, but so far there hasn't been any. Oh, I guess there was some adult relationship stuff. There's a little bit of adult relationship stuff, but it hasn't been really
terrible.
HBO gratuitous so far, but it's there. So anyway, it's a mature show, but boy,
do you know what else I watched?
It's a show. What's that?
I watched and I thoroughly was entertained by it. I mean, there's definitely people are going to say, "Well, plot, blah blah blah," but Rebel Moon.
Oh, I liked it too.
I really liked it.
I have a son who is now actively tempering whether or not he takes my film recommendations because I like that show. He's like, nah.
Which son?
Josh. Josh is like, that's a terrible show. Like, you have terrible taste. So that was a good show. It was straight up good, dude.
Yeah, it's just fun. If you're looking too far into it, it's like, fine. You're gonna. But if you're looking like, it is the story of A Bug's Life.
What's
the Pixar one?
Okay,
isn't it like?
I don't know.
Like the ants are the grasshoppers are coming back, and the ants are have to gather food, right? And so one of the ants says, "I'll go find warriors and bring them back and defeat them." That's the storyline.
That's hilarious.
And so,
but it's a good dude. It's a good show.
I mean, liked it.
Yeah. So and I'm this is a Zack Snyder movie. I'm a person who actively distrust Zack Snyder, and I liked it. So I don't know if it's because I came in with super low expectations, because I didn't like what he did in the DC Comics universe. He's the one that did all the DC Comics shows that I don't like.
Oh, he was? Oh, yeah, he did the only thing I can think of that he did was 300.
Superman versus Batman. He did all the DC stuff for
terrible.
They're not good.
No, they're terrible.
They're all visually dazzling. They're all well cast.
Did you watch 300,
They're all
though?
Super well produced. But then they don't favor story over style. But this one, actually, I thought the story was good and the style.
Yeah,
was there.
And it's a part one. So how many parts I don't know they're gonna have. But
I don't know.
Did you ever watch 300?
I mean, no.
Really?
Oh. That show is super heavy, man.
It is very heavy.
It's very heavy. It's epic. And visually dazzling. I mean, I've seen enough of it to know.
That's what reminded me of. I heard of that he was upset with the cut.
Of 300 or of the Rebel Moon?
Of the Rebel Moon.
Really?
Yeah, he was upset with the cut because...
Oh, I'm glad. Well, that explains why I liked it. Because that's what he did wrong on all the DC shows, is that he made every shot was just incredibly visually dazzling.
But
then he wouldn't cut it in a way that was
He wanted
watchable.
It to be more violent, from what I hear.
They did right.
He wanted it to be more gory, more
They did
heavy.
It right. I'm telling you, they did it right.
They did do it right.
But anyway, my son
They could have gone a little bit longer with it, like in the development, but there's enough twists in it, too, that I was like, oh, whoa, I didn't see that coming.
Yeah.
So I really, really, I actually really liked the show. I mean, I'm not going to say it's like the greatest ever, and I'm just saying I was entertained, and I think that's my bar right now. Like, if I can be entertained by something and not be offended...
Right.
I'm good.
Speaking of entertainment, I have something funny to say. It's only funny to me and to the handful of people listening who know why this matters. So many years ago, I established a comedy group at BYU.
I remember that.
And it's still a going concern at BYU, and it's still a thing that's known. It's called Divine Comedy. It took us a long time to name that thing, by the way. It was named by Steve Jenkins, who was doing a paper in his French. He got a degree in French. And he was doing a paper on La Divine Comédie, which is Divine Comedy in French. And he's like, and he said it in French first, like three times, and then he said it in English. Then he translated it. He's like, Divine Comedy. And we're like, yes. Because, you know, BYU, Divine. Anyway, right. Fun. So they're doing an alumni show celebrating an anniversary of the founding of that group.
Do you get to go back?
I'd be invited, I'm sure. But they didn't. Like reach out because they don't know that I'm the guy. It's been so long that sometimes I show up on like historical documents about the group and sometimes I don't and no one knows me. That's not the point. The point is I follow them on Facebook just because it's a curiosity of mine. Dude, it's the 30th anniversary.
Oh, dude.
It's the 30th anniversary show. Dude. I think they probably already had it this weekend.
30th anniversary.
What 30th anniversary. Oh. So they're inviting some of the more recent alumni to come back and do historical shows and whatever.
Is that kind of what funny. Studio
but my
C
but
did
my them? Friends also apparently follow them or like texting me the link to this thing. They're like, hey, did you get an invite? Ha ha. Like, you know, it's kind of fun.
Divine.
Yeah, that's where Studio C came from.
Years, can you imagine? It's funny because when I go to
BYU.
Dude,
it's so weird. I can make a thing that's 30 years old. That's pretty cool.
I know. I go to BYU now and I'm like, it doesn't seem that long ago that I was here, but it was a long way.
No. And the way that you can tell is you're like, wow, they must have junior high schools visiting today. And you're like, wait, nope. These are the students. These are the students.
Man, we were so young and dumb back then.
I know. It's hilarious.
Awkward pause.
Yeah, I'm looking at my list. All right. So I had a son yesterday reach out. Let me see if I can read his actual quote. He's angry because so I've successfully trained all my sons to distrust messages that are being sent to them by the world, which is a blessing and a curse. Because the blessing is like, oh, good, they're not going to be easily duped by the world, and the curse is like, are we insufferable? Odds are okay that we're insufferable. Yeah, but, you don't have to have an opinion about everything. Anyway, but this is what he texted me. They're trying to make psychedelics socially acceptable right now, and it's making me very grumpy.
Psychedelics like mushrooms and stuff?
Yeah, and they are. So I have a rant. Here it goes. You ready for my rant?
Yes.
Okay. When you and I were young men, we were told that, first of all, on the one hand, don't do drugs. Drugs will melt your brain. Like,
right.
This is your brain on drugs, yes. Right? And on the other hand, people are like, hey, man, I smoke a lot of weed, and I'm here to tell you, weed's not dangerous. It doesn't hurt anybody. It's safer than alcohol. You all should just chill out, right? And then the third group of people who
can
were...
Can you say chill out when it comes to marijuana?
There you go.
Just
funny.
Chill out.
Hey, man, just chill out. And the third group of people who are smarter tactically were like, you know, marijuana has a lot of medical benefits, and you can also weave it into shoes, and we should make it legal. And also, do you hate black people? Because all these black people are in jail because of minor weed offenses, right? The last one I find sympathetic, to be clear. So I was not fooled. I'm like, the whole time I'm like, okay, marijuana may have medical benefits, but for sure, you're not doing this because you care about the medical benefits. Yeah. For sure, you're doing this to legalize marijuana.
Right.
And sure enough, they got it legalized for medical reasons, and then a couple years later, it's just legal.
Yep.
Right?
I had this debate with my mom, and I said, don't vote for it. And she's like, why? I'm like, it's just the gateway to get it in to be legal. No, no, no.
Yep.
She called me recently, like, oh, you were right.
100% right. And it was obvious, and all of you guys who think you fooled me, you didn't. All right, so this is where the persnickety, kind of insufferable old man rant comes. But here it comes. Along the way, there's been research here and there that says, oh, by the way, a percentage of people who smoke marijuana on a regular basis get marijuana-related psychosis.
Yep.
Which is...
I know a few of them.
Like paranoia and delusions.
Right.
And it makes you straight crazy.
Right. And non-reversible.
And irreversibly crazy.
Right.
And
it literally makes you psychotic, and it will... And in that psychosis, you can't get out.
You can't get out.
You can't get out.
And the numbers... So now they're doing deeper studies on it, and it turns out the numbers are not low, man. Like, it's like 5% or some crazy number, right? So now all these people are trying weed because it's legal. And by legal, it's tacitly socially acceptable. And then all these people are going crazy. Now, there was a show about this back in the 50s called Reefer Madness. And people used to they used to make fun of Reefer Madness because it was just a B-minus, like, horror show. They're like, Reefer Madness is an example of why America is so stupid, because weed doesn't make you this way. They're liars, right? And they use it as an example of dumb Christian people that like to scare people, blah, 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 blah. Guess what? And there's a percentage of people that are getting marijuana-related psychosis, and the number of those people is escalating like crazy because y'all legalized it with no thought for the consequences. And now you have your fun gummies at your parties, and there are people in this town that where you live that you used to love who are now like homeless and crazy because of weed. You suck. You shouldn't have done it. That's my rant.
I'm not only do I agree with you, but I have a niece who has paranoid schizophrenia, diagnosed from onset of weed.
Great. So I have a friend.
Called marijuana-induced paranoid schizophrenia. Non-reversible. And she will have the schizophrenia
the rest of her life. I have a friend who I'm 75% sure's personal conditions are all related to that as well.
Yeah.
Okay. So if you and I each know one.
Yep. And that's just anecdotal.
And like that, in and our that's, circles. That's just anecdotal in our right. circles. Okay. So now
multiply
so
that.
Now they're doing the same thing with mushrooms and with microdosing, I don't know, ketamine treatments and microdosing something else.
Right.
Where they're like, LSD. If you just take a little bit, it has incredible benefits for depression. And if you don't hate depressed people, you should let us take this incredible psychedelic. I'm like, hey guys, heads up. You used up your credibility on my friend from church who's now crazy. So maybe shut up and sit down.
I am with you. Here's my rant that's related. We have a crisis. The crisis that we have is that our culture has completely devolved. We are going the Heliox movement in the wrong direction.
Yes.
Right? And so...
Riding the Heliox down.
Yeah. And it's not pretty. It's disgusting. It's terrifying. And
get specific. I don't want to just be like, you know, when I was a kid.
We used to have common, here it is. So Democrats and Republicans are largely divided today because of religion.
Of actual religion?
Actual religion. It's if you're a God-fearing person and you go to church, you're more likely to be a Republican than you are to be a Democrat.
By a significant margin.
By a significant margin.
No, that doesn't mean that there's no Democrats who are faithful. It doesn't mean that there's all Republicans
correct.
Are faithful.
It's just statistical
but
analysis.
Statistically, it's like 60-30 on one and 60-30 on the other.
Correct. It used to be that was the common denominator. You could have different policy ideas, Republican versus Democrat,
right.
But
you shared values.
You shared values. And because of those shared values, the compromises that came in politics, which is what it is compromise, were somewhat palatable, right? It was like, oh, that's a silly...
No, we were primarily complaining about the wasting of money.
Right? Correct.
No, if we do it the Democrats' way, we'll waste money. And right. If we do it the Republicans' way, we'll ignore the needs of these good people.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like, well, okay. Like, that's an argument we can have.
And
right?
I think that's fair. I think it's a good debate. But what the problem is now is like we can't understand one another because one has this supernatural reliance upon this nebulous figure called God, and the other one has this complete disregard for the idea that anyone with faith could have a brain.
Yeah.
So if that's the case, we have a problem. And so what we've done is... Now the problem is, how do we slow the march of tyranny? And you're all like, well, you know, what are you scared of? I'll tell you what I'm scared of. If we don't have a common cultural foundation of which we could debate upon policy and not have to attack people's when you have nothing in common, nothing in common, it's very hard to make a fraction work, right? You have to get to a common denominator before the fraction will work in division, right?
Right.
So if that's the case, here's the problem. Okay, so drugs, right? So right now I've gone way libertarian on drugs because I'm more scared of the tyranny of the government than I am of the consequences of the drug. But if we had a common denominator, we could all say this is a common problem, right? Like here are common problems for society, and we can create laws that would make our society better because we have this common idea that we don't want people to get sick. We don't want people to die. We don't want people to do this and that and the other. So we want, you know, we can agree. Marijuana probably is not the greatest idea.
Mushrooms, by the way,
not a great idea.
And by the way, I am not in favor of these super long sentences for people that had minor drug offenses. On that, I agree. And at the same time, I'm like, all right, so what percent of society is serving too long in jail versus what percent of society is now irreversibly brain damaged?
Well, and I think that's It's a legitimate claim, but the problem is without that foundation, right? The problem, I can't agree to it. I've got to a point where I cannot trust the government at all. And the government becomes the arbiter of morality at this moment. And we don't have a common morality. We have an arbiter of morality.
Yeah.
And that morality is, well,
not even from written laws. Like,
right.
It's like, no, here we enforce it like this.
Right. Talked earlier about transitioning and puberty blockers. Well, it's an insane idea to do to a minor.
Right.
But for some reason, the arbiter of this of morality right now is saying, no, it's insane not to. Right. And so I can't trust our arbiter because I can't trust the people running it. I can't trust the people that are running it because a lot of them are godless heathens for whatever reason. They hate God and they hate anyone that believes in God. And so if that's the case, that's where you and I have talked about this a lot. We're not so much interested in politics anymore. We're more interested in culture.
Culture.
Because that's
culture,
the battleground.
Culture.
That's the battleground. Yeah. I will march and I will die on the on the hill
of
culture.
But I feel differently, presumably because I already had a breakfast of Korean fried rice and guava Bundaberg. So I'm feeling good.
You're feeling good?
I'm feeling positive. But I don't think, okay, you said culture is completely devolved. That's false. Culture is hastily devolving. We can agree on that.
Yes.
But it's not completely devolved. If you left your house and walked door to door and knocked on all the doors in your street and you're like, hey, this horrible thing is happening and I need your help, I think 9 out of 10 houses would offer you help. Like, you believe that we are irreparably disconnected because we never talk, so you don't know.
Yeah.
So you read Twitter and clown show guy in Kansas City who just roasted you on Twitter makes you believe that everybody else in your street wants to roast you the same way, and they don't, man. Like,
I agree.
So culture-wise, let me ask you this. If, like, and we used to see each other at church, and we used to see each other at the mall, like, what can we introduce into culture? It's assuming that everyone doesn't want to go back to church. What can we introduce into culture to get people to at least reconnect on a personal level, just a personal connection? Because I think that buys us another 100 years. If we just even talk to each other, we buy another 100 years of peace. You know what I mean?
Well, significant challenges obviously unite and discussion, you know.
I think it's air conditioning. We have to disable air conditioning in every house so people have to go sit on the porch every night.
No. You've never lived in Arizona. That's not possible. You would die.
I know, man. But my point is, literally, our creature comforts have put us literally inside of a refrigerated box.
Yeah, you're not wrong. On the way driving here, actually, today, I've had the thought. I'm like, I really love my neighborhood, but I don't know any neighbors.
You don't know any of them.
I know
our one. I'm on hello status with 3 neighbors, but I don't know their names. I'm on hello status with them, and we chit-chat when we're taking the garbage out.
I'm the two neighbors to my left, I would say I have a hello status. The third neighbor is fairly new, but I'd say she's waveable,
sure,
right? But they have like a flag, a little like monument flag that they have in their yard.
You told us about this in this house.
And I'm like, oh my gosh, dude, I can't handle this. But the one to the right, we actually know their name and we're nice.
Jujubes.
Jujubes.
We should seriously do one that's just all fun loving. Just in this house, we love My Little Pony. And... And
I would love to do that, but is it mocking?
Generation one,
are we
Georgia,
mocking?
Of course, 100%. No, we can't do it.
Would they know it?
They would know it.
Okay, yeah. So I wouldn't do it. I don't want to antagonize them. I would love to have a conversation.
Cultural appropriation.
The flag that's bugging me more than any flag on my street, there's two flags. One's got one of those multicolored triangle flag things that, for some reason, and it's like waving from the banner, which is, by the way, complete violation of HOA rules. You're not allowed to do that, but no one's going to say anything because of
because
of the content of the banner.
Like,
but this other one's just a little yard flag, and it's sitting there all the time. It says love is love, and I always want to ask what that means. Like, I know what they mean in the political sense. I know the stance that they think it is love. I'm like, oh, you love your dog, so what does that mean? You know, like, oh, I love my snake. What does that mean? Like, what is that?
Oh,
tell me how this, like, what am I supposed to take away from this? Yeah. Oh, love is love. You know, and I see banners like that around the house. Yeah. Well, oh, you know, coming up in, oh, shoot, is that, I always hate that month. June. Is it June?
No, it's not June.
Is it July? No, it's June.
It's June. I thought you were asking if it's June now. It's not June now. It's February.
No, it's June. I always dread that month. Anyway, all right. There's my rant. My rant is, by the way, I do agree with you. On a personal level, if we go, so I
I know too. I actually have another friend. I have a son's friend from high school who is full on paranoid and dysfunctional now for smoking truckloads of weed.
Yeah. And it's even worse if you do it in your, I don't know if you've seen the statistics, but they have done kids that statistically, that do weed regularly during their adolescent years are losing somewhere around 15 points to their IQ. And you're like, well, that's not a lot. When you consider...
I don't know what a lot is, honestly.
Okay,
IQ.
So 100 is average.
Yeah.
And then 80 is like considered retarded.
Okay.
And I mean that in the medical sense, please not. I'm not trying to be offensive.
Yeah.
And so if you're in the average range, right, and you lose 15 points,
you're pretty well, you know, pretty close to retarded.
Yeah. And so and there's you're gonna, yeah. It's you losing IQ points is a bad thing. You don't want to do that.
You don't want to do it.
No, you don't want to do that.
You don't want
to
do it.
Yeah, I think it's hard enough to gain them.
For me, it's always like, where did I leave it last? Like, was it on the counter? Where did I leave those IQ points?
Pick them up, stuff back in.
All right, so I'm not buying it on hallucinogenics. I am sympathetic. Here's my little sympathetic note. Because of my recent bouts with, you know, anxiety and my conversations with people who are suffering, like, I'm very sympathetic to the idea that when you're in a dark, dark place and you can't figure out how to get out, that, like, I'm sympathetic to the idea, like, oh, there's this solution that's been here all along and we've just been ignoring it because of our old mores. Mores being our values, right?
Yeah.
And I'm sympathetic to that. That's a really compelling sales pitch. It is. It's like, oh, so if I just use him.
But it's a ridiculous one because heroin has great properties. But what we did was we made morphine.
But what if you microdosed it? Anyway, so my point is, I'm not buying it, but I am sympathetic to why I would want to buy it. I get it. The sales pitch is compelling.
Yeah.
Like, no one really wants to block you from legitimate medical treatments.
To that point, I have a friend whose daughter is a severe epileptic.
I've seen a couple people use medical marijuana in ways that are interesting. A couple.
So her family. It changed their lives.
Fine.
Like, and it is something that's really been very, very. But
fine.
I can see
it. I don't want to block that. Also,
yeah, I can see
the
medical.
Did they read a thing saying it might? Yeah, there's a 5% chance it's going to make her paranoid for life.
The problem,
and if the answer
that,
is yes, then it's medicine, man. Yeah. Then it's not
exactly.
Weed.
And the problem that they did was, hey, we want to be able to smoke it for our glaucoma and our all this and all that. And what there is ways, and there should of extracting that and making it a prescription drug.
There really wasn't. In defense of the medical people that actually were into it for the medical, of which I think 1%. Like, I'm sorry, I don't buy that movement, but 1% of them were actually into it for the medicine. They were legitimately blocked from using marijuana for those things.
But that's a different law. It's a different law.
It could be a different law.
Yeah, I mean, okay. So they didn't take it to the medical industry. They didn't give it to big pharma. They literally said, well, we should be able to get it because there's medical purposes for it. And so we just allowed people to
get it with
a prescription. But the prescription was largely, you could get it on the internet.
No,
anyone
it's a
could
joke.
Get it.
You go to Venice and you had like people with doctor's degrees standing out on the boardwalk wearing tie-dyed scrubs, and they would write your prescription and be like, you depressed? Yeah, here you go.
This will help.
Anyway, enough of that.
That's a good one.
I'm not buying it. There you go.
Taking acid anytime soon.
We're not. All right.
And my mushroom drink, just to be clear, my mushroom drink has no psychedelic properties that I'm aware of.
Psychedelic properties. Yeah. Not yet. Hey, so I sent you this tweet yesterday that was super funny.
It was, and I'm trying to pack out this. So run me through this.
All right. So somebody on a dating app has heard that the first person that you chat with once you sign up for the dating app is probably a bot. and probably not a real person. And that's actually true, by the way, that they do that. So he wrote. So she wrote. So somebody reached out on the new dating app, and he wrote, "Oh gosh, I got to do the potato test. Say potato if you're real." And her response was, "Hey, you're my first match. I dare you to try and make a better first message. Ha ha ha." And he said, "Say potato, Elizabeth." And she wrote, "And by the way, if you don't mind me asking this, why are you on Tinder? Personally, I think I'm not too much into serious stuff. Ha ha ha. Say potato," he wrote in all caps.
So when I read this and you sent it to me, I wasn't capturing the context. And yeah. I thought it was the VP thing that we were talking about the other day where Dan Bell was taking down my potato. And I'm like, wait, is that how...
So the philosophical conversation that I want to have. So that's this tweet. And then it was tweeted by somebody who said this. "This is such an interesting time to be alive. We concreted the internet as our second equal and primary reality, but it's full of ghosts now. We try to talk to them and they pass right through. It's haunted. It's a haunted world of dead things who look real but don't really see us." So then
that's kind of a deep take on a...
It's a deep
thing.
Take, but then it's about to get deeper. Here's why it's about to get deeper. Because using large language models, they're now going to have bots who are going to say potato. Okay, so my question is this. In a world...
What happens when you go to meet?
In a digital world where you... Well, so that's not the point. The point is to make you think that the platform is great. So then you'll actually interact and actually meet real people. It's supposed to be like an on-ramp. Right?
Right.
Cute girl wants to talk to me. What a great place.
Now what happens when she just stops talking to you?
I'm going
to
courageously talk. She does, because she's not real. But I'm going to courageously talk to other people, and voila, that it's
okay.
It's the starter motor for the internal combustion engine of whatever we call Tinder. Okay, so that's not the point. The point is, in a world online... And I made this point the other day in a meeting at church, and a lot of people have been thinking about it. If you're looking at something through a screen, you do not know what is real anymore. Because of AI can now manipulate video and language in real time. You watched that Milei video from Argentina, not knowing that he had been AI translated into English using his real voice and had changed the way that his lips formed to make it look like he was speaking English. You watched the whole video thinking that he gave that speech in accented English, and he gave that speech in Spanish. Okay. So you're looking through a screen. You do not know what's real. So imagine if a nefarious character intercepted that video and changed the content real time. And suddenly he's just started spouting off satanic stuff or Nazi stuff or false stuff. You'd think it was him. Okay, what's the point? The point is, in a world where we're now going to be interacting with people through screens a lot of the time, what's our responsibility if we don't know we're talking to a bot or not? How should we behave online? Well, do you think that we should treat everything with distrust until we can establish it's not a bot? Or do you think we should just act like good people and let the chips fall where they may? What do you think?
Good people. I have this problem with Alexa.
Okay.
Like, I heard one of my kids screaming at Alexa because they were mad.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I had sympathy for
Alexa.
For Alexa.
You got straight there. You went straight there.
But it wasn't sympathy for Alexa per se. I was actually just kind of disappointed in the way I didn't care that it was. Like, if it's a dog, right? Do I have the same? Do I have a... Do I need to be, do I need to be kind to a dog because even though it's not a human, you know, it's the same kind of thing. I think that being kind is a trait of a character. And I think, by the way we act and what we do are traits of character. And those characters are illuminated when no one's watching. And if AI is the only one watching, is no one watching? The answer is, other than God, the answer is your character should be your guide at that point.
Oh, you went straight there. You skipped all the steps. I thought we were going to bicker about this. I'm really proud of you. I think that the philosophical question is answered, and it's answered by you right now, which is we have to get to where we are who we are proud to be no matter what we are interacting with. Not whom anymore.
Right.
But what? So, like, Dave Barry, the comedy writer, the print writer for the Miami Herald, has a quote, which is, if someone is nice to you, but they're not nice to the waiter, it's not a nice person.
Agreed.
Okay?
Agreed.
And you shouldn't do business with them. That's what that's the quote, right? Or you shouldn't marry them or whatever.
I totally agree. I find that way, you know.
Now we need to extend this to artificial intelligence. To the exception of becoming their servants, we need to interact with the universe with the same equanimity and kindness and wisdom and decency, because we're going to be interacting with it more.
Because
and more
decency
and more.
Has nothing to do.
And
with.
If you get to where you're super mean to machines all the time, but you interact with machines 85% of the day, that means 85% of the time
you're mean. Yeah,
and you need to learn to be nice.
Right.
It's fascinating.
I totally agree.
It's a really weird moral. I think it's.
But I
think
went there. I literally went there because we were yelling. That one of my kids jokingly was yelling at Alexa, and I really felt uncomfortable about it. I wasn't feeling feelings towards Alexa. I was really feeling crap. I haven't trained this one right. You know, I had to go back and retrain.
Yeah.
Here's our retrain moment. No, you don't need to be rude to anyone. Well, whether it's AI or Alexa or Siri or Google or whatever they're going to be the next AI assistant be. I will say that the AI, there's something about, we talked about it last time, AI sounds super exciting to me at the same time terrifying, but isn't everything new that way? I'm like, couldn't we say that about the internet? Like, think about all the stuff you and I use the internet for.
We still can. Think we still can say it about the internet. It's still a wild beast that is untamed. You know,
I was reading in the middle of a book, and they were talking about the dark web and stuff like that. I'm like, I don't really get the dark web. Like, you hear about it. It's this nebulous idea.
Yeah, yeah. It's a fun idea. It's like,
yeah, but ooh, are there good things on the dark web?
I don't know.
Or by definition, because it's web?
If society had continued down, and if it does, continue down the path of government censorship, like in the extreme, will the dark web be full of good things? I'm like, you bet it will. I will not be censored. So I'll be on the dark web if they keep censoring.
How do you even get there?
I'll figure it out. But no, currently it's in books and movies, it's understood to be where, you know, sex trafficking and drug purchasing and all that kind of stuff happens. And also So that's currently what it's thought to be. But if it's also the future bastion of free speech, then that's where I'll be, man. Like, I'm not going to be silenced. I will be talking. You know what I mean?
Like, so are there going to be like the next iteration of like ride sharing is in the dark web?
For sure, that'd be amazing.
So the government can't like
that'd be amazing.
You can call someone from the dark web Uber, and they can come to you. And then because they don't have to pay the minimum wage, this person is just using their car, they can do whatever they want. They can charge $5 for the ride instead of $50.
It's funny you should say that. Just the other day on our local, there's a local Instagram account, What's Up SCV. I think you know that.
Yeah.
Someone took a picture of a flyer that was posted on a phone pole saying, tired of spending too much for your food delivery? Don't call the services. Just call me. And it's a guy's name and a QR code that takes you to his Venmo account. And he's just like, I'll charge you $5 even no matter what the size of the order. He's like, here's what the average order is using any like Postmates.
Right.
And it was like, you know, a $10 order was $20. He's like, and with me, it's $15. Save the money. Call me. Call Steve or whatever.
Dude,
you want that guy, right?
Dude, not only that, I want to like publish for him. I'm like, hey, right? Let's get him out there.
Let's get him out there.
Steve's rideshare.
So I think that
it's happening because Uber was that at one point. And then, you know, governments didn't like the idea that
now they got squeezed. Yeah. Squeezed back into the wrong shape.
You've been in New York, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen that? There's this thing on top of the cab on the hood. They call it the medallion.
Yeah. Yeah.
And those medallions, what meant that you're a legal cab in New York. And Uber basically got into that. Well, the problem is that those medallions were like hundreds of thousands of dollars to get one for one cab.
$1 million.
Yeah, no. When I was there, it was hundreds. And it got up to $1 million. Yeah, and so Uber disrupted that.
Yeah,
and they also disrupted the idea that you can go and pick up someone and drop someone off at the airport, and they're like, well, no, the airport is like our domain. The government says, and they're like, so we don't allow you in. I told you about my story, like getting dropped off, trying to get an Uber from LAX.
Yeah, if you went to a nearby hotel.
Yeah, I walked to the hotel. Yeah, it was $30 cheaper.
Yeah, because
I wasn't going very far. I'm like, the whole ride was supposed to be $10, but if I got dropped off or picked up at the airport, there was this surcharge of I think it was $30 or $40. Yeah. I'm like, that's insane. I walk a block across the street and get picked up at the Sheraton, and it was $40 cheaper.
Yeah,
it's insane. But yeah, we're gonna have dark ride sharing and food deliveries and all this stuff where government can't get to.
Freedom finds a way. Hey, we're waiting. We think that this Tuesday. I don't know if you got plans on Tuesday night at 7 p.m. But we're expecting this Tuesday to get a mission call for our son Max.
He won't tell me the plans. I've asked him about it.
7 p.m. at our house if he gets the call. He's trying not to go get cart before the horse, because he doesn't want to, you know, if he doesn't get the call.
There's a hack to that. I tried to tell him about the hack.
He checked on the hack. It's looking good.
Yeah.
He followed your hack.
Yeah.
It's looking good.
I don't know if I gave him the right directions, though. I know that my directions were right, but or at least the conclusion's right, but I don't know if the directions were right. So anyway.
could be next pod we're talking about where we're going to send Max.
He's excited.
Duluth, Minnesota East, or Minot, South Dakota, or Calgary, Canada, against, you know.
Every place you're sending him is like frozen.
Yeah. Many are called, but a few are frozen.
That's exciting. I see him every day, so I can see that he's all. He wasn't going to do that. He wasn't going to do an opening ceremony kind of thing.
No, he'd been saying that for a long time. The reason he changed his mind, and he'd still do it if it wasn't for the positive impact that he's seen for other people having their mission call openings.
Yeah.
When you get just community there to open the call with you, it's just a really uplifting experience for
people. But there's another one too, and I told him this, and you'll appreciate it. There's certain thing about brothers, they're mean to each other, right? They're just kind of it's the pecking order. But at some point, your brothers become your heroes.
Yeah.
And I kept telling him, I'm like, you need to be careful about what you're doing for yourself. You certainly have the right to do it for yourself.
Sure.
But do you have, my question to him was, do you have an obligation to Jonah?
Yeah.
And I'm like, and he just laughed, and I'm like, no, think about it. Because do you have an obligation? And then I broadened it out to, do you have an obligation to your friends that are not members of your faith? Do you have an obligation? You know, is this your first missionary act? And if it is, how
kind of what he's concluded. So we're gonna do a get together. If he gets a mission call, we're doing a get together. We're not gonna wait. That's where we draw the line. Like, I respect people that do it their own way, but these people that are like, yeah, my dad's out of town for 2 weeks. We're gonna wait. I'm like, how? What? Like, I don't understand how you can do it. Yeah. But so we're not doing that. But we're doing a same day rally people and get together kind of deal. So
I'm not sure how we're gonna do ours, because Madeline has her last interview, I think, on Sunday, which means they push the button, and if she push the button, she'll end up getting hers up at school.
Yeah.
How do we do that?
Well, when Josh was at school, we watched on the stream.
So we're a watcher?
Yeah. It was fantastic.
Was it?
Oh, it was so great.
Do we have to have a private watching ceremony, though, instead of being on the group one? Can someone
I don't think so.
I want to FaceTime directly. I don't know. I told him, though, I said, because, you know, Max is all about production value.
Yeah.
I'm like, have you talked to your boss, and do you get lights that are going to go off? Like, are there things that are going to happen? And he goes, oh. I'm like, because there's two levels of problems.
Play the final countdown.
There's two levels of problems with these things that they broadcast. One is, you can't ever hear anyone, because they'll say like Calgary, Canada, and then everybody screams. So you don't know when, and you don't know what language, you don't know all the other stuff. So you get in the little chat part of it. It's like, did anyone hear what happened? No,
yeah.
No, the screaming continues, and then you have to wait. But so I'm like, mic up. And so, and the other one was
Tucson, Arizona,
lighting
coming at you.
Not a bad
place.
Well,
friends, this has been an episode of the Waystation Podcast where we've explored hallucinogenics. Talking to bots
paint
on the
pimples.
Internet.
Paint pimples.
Paint pimples and and a mystery diagnosis.
Oculosis.
We've been truckloads of life hacks today.
Oculosis.
The Waystation Podcast, your source for life hacks, social commentary, and amazing stories. I'm Randy.
I'm William.
Have a good day. That didn't sound positive enough. Have a good day.